Good morning. Yesterday, we were in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, and specifically, as we ran out of time, we were looking at the word diversities. Now, let me go back and read all of verse 28 once again to kind of bring you up to speed. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Now, I said the first thing we'd deal with this morning would be the matter of this word diversities, specifically diversities of tongues. Let me read for you again the definition of the word in the Greek language that is translated as diversities in verse 28. You may have a marginal note that will simply give you a synonym, kinds, but that doesn't get the whole thing. The definition reads as follows. Diversities is the aggregate, that is the collection, the sum total, the aggregate of many individuals of the same nature, kind, sort, or species. You understand the word same is included or implied with each of them, so the aggregate of many individuals of the same nature, the same kind, the same sort, or the same species. You say, well, what's that got to do with anything? Well, it's simply this. This word diversities of tongues, we need to have, you need to have a clear understanding of what this matter of tongues is about. Now, I'm speaking about tongues, and we will find Paul deals with it more specifically in chapter 14, but I want you to understand right from the start where we're coming from with this word. When we're talking about tongues. But there are those who have taught and caused a lot of confusion, a lot of misunderstanding and fear, I think, frustration in the lives of new converts, people who have taught that if you've really been saved, you will speak in tongues. And if you have not spoken in tongues, you've never really been saved. Now, they've taught it, and they've pushed it, and done so with such forcefulness as to convince people that, well, I guess that's the way it's supposed to be. Now, at different times, I've had people contact me over the last several years of the broadcast and ask questions about this matter of, well, do you have to or not? Well, my answer is, what does the Bible say? Now, you will find that, well, let's turn back to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, if you'll turn there with me. Acts chapter 2, we don't want to lose your place here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, because we will be coming back to it. But in Acts chapter 2, we'll go, please, to verse 9. In Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 9, well, actually, let's go back to verse 8. Set the stage here. You remember it's on the day of Pentecost. The apostles have gone out and begun to preach in the city of Jerusalem. There are great multitudes of people in Jerusalem. People congregate in Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover, and then as many as can stay on for the next 50 days for the feast of Pentecost. Pentecost, 50 days is where it comes from. Now, on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the apostles, disciples, were all one accord in one place, and the Holy Spirit was given by God to the church from that point on. Prior to this time, anytime you see the Holy Spirit mentioned in ministry, he comes upon an individual, as he did in the Old Testament. The Spirit came upon Samson. Different ones in the Old Testament, the Spirit came upon. But from this point on, in Acts chapter 2, we're going to find that the Holy Spirit then comes into, he dwells in the believer. Now, these individuals in the upper room here on the day of Pentecost were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, they were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Now, it says in verse 7, they were all amazed, that is, they were surprised and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? You say, well, what's so surprising about that? Well, without getting into any specifics, you know that there are ethnic jokes that have been told about one ethnic heritage or another. This group is not as smart as some other group, that kind of a thing. And it was the same way with the Galileans. My goodness, if you were from Galilee, you're just about as dumb as dirt. You didn't know straight up. They were not known for their academic achievements down in Galilee, kind of a rough redneck kind of section of the country. I said, Now look, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we, every man, in our own tongue wherein we were born? Now if you begin at verse 9 and start counting, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. There are 15 different language groups that are mentioned here, and you will notice that the people are all hearing the same thing. That is, these individuals speaking with tongues are praising God and specifically speaking the wonderful works of God. They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? And then, beginning with verse 14, you find Peter standing up and preaching that wonderful message on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people get saved. Now, let's go back, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Diversities of tongues. Now, when you get into the etymology of this Greek word, diversities, and you also consider the idea of what you've seen in Acts chapter 2, this diversities of tongues, we are talking about the languages that are common to mankind. We are not, you cannot push into, you cannot twist it, you cannot force anything into this word, diversities, to include a heavenly prayer tongue, an angelic tongue, a heavenly language. You cannot do that without simply disregarding entirely what the Bible has to say. Now, I realize that there are people going to get real hot about that and say, well, he doesn't know what he's talking about. My friend, I do know what I'm talking about, and you're the one that's mistaken. You will notice, as you pursue the matter, the study of tongues in the Scripture, you will notice that there are only two uses for the gift of tongues. You will notice, as we began our study of 1 Corinthians, if you go back, please, to chapter 1 and verse 22, the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. The sign gifts were given to convince the unconverted, especially the unconverted Jews, of the validity of the message that the apostles were preaching. Now, I'm skipping ahead, but look, please, at verse 22 of chapter 14. Note clearly what Paul says. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe. So when somebody says, well, you got to speak in tongues if you've been saved. You haven't been saved if you're not spoken in tongues. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but they are a sign to them that believe not. Now, if you take chapter 1, verse 22, together with what it says in chapter 14, verse 22, you get this, that the only time that tongues were to be used were when there were unconverted Jews present. You say, no, just a minute. Yes, I know some of you have been in meetings where tongues have been going on, and you know as well as I do, there were new unconverted Jews present there. But what was going on was told, you were told, was tongues, a gift of the Holy Spirit. Now look, if something is genuinely of the Spirit of God, it will always and without fail, without any exception ever, always line up with what the Bible says. It will never occur outside the parameters and the limitations that the Scripture sets down, if it is of the Spirit of God. Now, on the other hand, you will find that there are things that are going on that they hardly touch base with the Bible at all. And yet, people will claim that this is a gift of the Holy Spirit, or this is the influence of the Holy Spirit. My friend, be very careful. Be warned. Jesus said every manner of blasphemy shall be forgiven a man in this life, except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. That sin would not be forgiven in this life nor in the life to come. I submit to you, you better be extremely careful as to what you say the Holy Spirit has done or has not done. Do you understand what blasphemy is? Blasphemy, and I'll just give you a blue-collar definition here, a working definition. Blasphemy is crediting Satan with something the Holy Spirit has done, or saying that the Holy Spirit has done something when Satan has been the motivation behind it. Did you follow that? Blaming the Holy Spirit or crediting the Holy Spirit with something Satan has done, or giving Satan credit for something the Holy Spirit has done. That's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Now, I say this very carefully. I say it compassionately, I say it kindly, but I say it without any flexibility whatsoever. What is going on in the charismatic movement today does not line up with what the Bible says. And my friend, if it does not line up with what the Bible says, where is it coming from if it is not the Spirit of God? Now there are people say, well, it is too the Spirit of God. You're just a narrow-minded fundamentalist. You don't know. My friend, I know what the Bible says. Well, yes, but you know, the Spirit has given new revelation. The Spirit has never given new revelation after the completion of the Scripture. He may have led you in a decision. He may have shown you something from the Word of God, but he has never added anything to the Scripture beyond what has already been given at the conclusion of the book of Revelation. From that point on, the canon was closed, and the inspiration of Scripture ceased. When that which is perfect is come, and it was. We'll talk about that when we get into chapter 13. Now, diversities of tongues. We are speaking about known human languages. We are talking about people who, if they have the gift of tongues, biblically what it was, and you'll find this in every situation that's mentioned in Acts, anywhere in the Bible at all, you will find that tongues were a divinely given ability to communicate in a language that you had not studied before, and it was for the express purpose of witnessing and leading people to Christ. My time is gone. We'll come back to this tomorrow. Join me then.